This week on It's So Bad, we wander into the shadows to awaken the princess in Shadow of the Colossus for the PlayStation 2 here on It's So Bad. We're here on It's So Bad on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. You can subscribe to us. We're adding this week Shadow of the Colossus to our endless list of games. Our endless list of games is a list of many games. It's currently 34.
34.
We're adding our 35th here today in Shadow of the Colossus. The list is judged by everything from its gameplay to its graphics for how it came, how it innovated at the time, its legacy, etc. And we try to rank all these games, whether or not they're good, they're bad, they're otherwise. We add every game to our list. And this game is kind of a standout. It's a good game.
Yeah, you'd think with this being the 35th game, we'd have a lot of really good games. But
we have a lot of everything.
It's a pretty flat spectrum of
right
quality.
Right. There's a lot of different games.
We've done well.
Yes. We've done well in spacing it out. We've most recently added Pit Fighter, which probably wasn't a very good game. We added Hexen,
it isn't a very good game. No, we decided.
It's not a good game. Yes. And we added Hexen, which was a first-person shooter-ish game that was pretty interesting, we felt.
Yeah.
And
then Mario before that.
Yeah, Super Mario 64 before that, which everybody knows is a really good game.
So we're
hitting all the spectrums.
Yeah.
Good, bad, otherwise. And we try to do that every week. We try to space it out to do not all of the good games at once, not all the bad games all the time, not all the interesting games, but just games from different genres, different platforms all the time. This is our, I believe, our second PS2 game we're adding to the list.
After God of War?
Yes, it is.
At least for original releases.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. PlayStation 2 original release. Mm-hmm. So what is this game? What is Shadow of the Colossus?
That's quite the question to start with.
Yeah.
I should have expected it. Shadows of the Colossus, had you played it? When did you first play it?
A month ago.
Okay, so I thought you had played it back in the day. Okay, all right, so similarly, it's a game that it had a legacy that I was aware of that I hadn't, I hadn't played it right originally. I played it recently.
One of the reasons why we're adding this game is because it's been consistently told to me that I should play this game.
Right. Exactly.
It's a game that, it's an action adventure game where you are a small person who has a sword and a bow and arrow and a horse, and you have to kill 16 different colossi.
You could say its legacy casts a pretty colossal shadow.
Yes. we're wandering into some puns here.
Yes. I think not making at least an initial reference to a game like Zelda would be a mistake,
It is heavily influenced by The Legend of Zelda.
It's very, similar. It's in the sense that you're this character, you've got a sword, and you're basically out in this world.
Yes, it's an open world adventure game.
Right.
Sort of open world. It's like guided open world.
Correct.
Released in October of 2005, which was the same year God of War was released, the other game that's from PS2 that was on our list. Just to put it into some perspective, Resident Evil 4 was released in January of that year. KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic 2, was released in February of 2005. God of War comes out in March. November had Star Wars Battlefront 2, and then December had Kingdom Hearts 2. So, like, a very PS2 heavy.
A lot of twos.
Yes, a lot of twos. Developed by Sony Computer Entertainment Japan Studio and / Team Ico, the team that made Ico. Published by Sony Computer Entertainment, directed by Fumito Ueda, and produced by Kenji Kaito. So you can find this game on a PS2, PS3, and PS4. On PS3, it's on the Ico and Shadow of the Colossus collection, and it's only available on PlayStation products today. unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a Sony
thing.
Sony design game. Makes sense.
So you mentioned that you did not play this back in the day.
No, I didn't.
Do you remember why you didn't play this game?
No. Because even at the time I had heard it was good.
Right.
I think at the time, I don't know if I heard about it when it came out. I think I heard about it later.
I think that's what happened with this game, right?
And then it was like, oh, well, you know, who knows? I don't have any excuse as to why I didn't play this game. It's just I never got around to it.
Yes. So me too. I mean, for me, it was the time period was weird because I was in college, mm-hmm. and I was not focusing on playing video games. And I don't think I had money to buy video games.
Right. Yeah. That's a fair point. You know, like I had known games were good, but I didn't have the, you know, agency or the money to just go out and buy stuff
and then play it, have time to play it.
Right.
This game was made by Team Ico, as I mentioned. They only have made three games: Ico, Shadow of the Colossus, and The Last Guardian.
Mm-hmm. So I haven't played the other two.
You haven't played the other two either?
No.
So I haven't played Ico. I know of it. And The Last Guardian just came out a couple years ago, but it was in development for like...
forever.
Yes, yeah. Like 7 or 8 years or something like that.
It was supposed to be a PS3 game, right? And then it came out on PS4?
So actually Team Ico technically folded in 2011.
Really? Oh, okay.
They folded into Sony Computer Entertainment Japan. Ueda, who was the guy there, was funded by Sony to continue making Last Guardian.
Hmm.
This game actually started as a project called Nico, which was the combination of Ni, which means two in Japanese, and Ico. So the originally Nico was a 35-person team on the development team. When it started development in 2002, took about 5 years, which is three years, which is crazy because Ico and Last Guardian took forever to make.
Yeah, exactly.
So, as I mentioned, Fumito Ueda and Kaido made this game. Kaido suggested that what he wanted to do was focus on the character's movement and the relationship of the Colossus to Wander, and how you can make, with the PS2, a character, your character, move really in interesting and unique ways. So, for example, when you climb onto a Colossus, your body will sway and your arms will move in different ways than you normally would see in, like, a game from PS2 era.
Right, so just to back up.
Yes.
This game, as we mentioned, you're the character.
Yes.
But throughout the course of the game, you're essentially sent out with the mission of finding and defeating
16
Colossi.
Colossi.
And these are gigantic, some would say colossal...
Colossuses.
Bosses.
Yes.
Some
of them. Some of them are not Colossus.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I was a little surprised by that when I encountered...
There was like two of them,
I think.
There
was like two or three that were...
not Colossus.
Yeah, pretty...
Colossi.
Significantly smaller. And I would actually say that those were the least fun.
Yes, there was one that you have to find a torch.
Right.
Which was like, I don't know what I'm doing
here.
And it was bad, but...
Yeah, so the loop of the game is you start in this center point of the map... You know, you have your horse aggro.
Yes.
You'd get on your horse. You'd go out into the sunlight. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, you had to use the sunlight to reflect off of your sword, essentially.
I should say too that this is very like the exact same thing as Zelda 2. We mentioned the Zelda influence.
Mm-hmm.
Zelda 2, you start in a temple with the Princess Zelda who's sleeping, and you have to figure out how to awaken her by going to other temples and doing it. So one of the things that Ueda, the director, mentioned is that he wanted to invert the Zelda style by making it just boss fights. So the idea is you are this character named Wander. You have a sword. You're at the very start of the game. You find out that he has a girlfriend whose name is Mono. Mono is dead. She's been sacrificed by somebody. And you are bringing her to the Forbidden Lands to awaken her. And to do that, you have to speak to this evil spirit who tells you that you need to destroy 16 colossi. And you don't know if it's an evil spirit at the very start.
Right. Dorman.
It's just a spirit. You kind of, as you go through, you understand that maybe what you're doing is not good intentioned. Or you're just being selfish, I should say.
Yeah, like, you know, so you're going out to fight these bosses, and you find as you fight them that, you know, like, you'll show up to some areas, and they're like, it's like they just woke up.
Right.
They're, like, coming out of a cave.
Or they're just there.
And they're just hanging out.
Right.
And then you're the one jumping up on their legs and crawling all the way to the top and stabbing them in the face and trying to kill them.
And sometimes they're docile, and sometimes they don't even, like, attack you back.
And the whole, like, you're right, it took me a couple colossi, but then, you know, by the time I was at the fifth one, it was like, why am I the bad guy here? Like, what did these colossi do to deserve it?
Yeah, like, you try to, like, understand. There's some of them will just stand there while you climb them, and they won't even try to. They'll like shake you off because they're like, you're attacking me.
Right, exactly.
It's interesting. So up front, you don't really understand that what you're doing could be construed as wrong. But then you fight Colossus and you kind of get this notion, especially since after you beat each Colossus, you absorb this black influence and you wake up back at the temple, and you slowly, your character will degrade over time, the looks of the character.
Oh, I didn't even notice
that. Yeah, they turn like black. His face turns black.
Okay.
And it happens very slowly as the game goes on.
Yeah, the game is very subtle. Like, you know, I didn't pick up on the fact that, it's like, you know, this black spirit entering you, and to me, it was just through playing it that I started to feel bad. And I liked that it wasn't beating you over the head with, like, you know, making you question the morality of what you're doing.
Or, right.
It's very hands-off with its storytelling.
Right. It's a very, I would say it's also very simplistic storytelling. It's very, like, I think one of the directors was quoted as saying it's kind of like a haiku where you are given a basic outline. It's for you to determine more of what the specifics are of the story.
Right. And it's not really until that, you know, when you're done with it, that the story becomes clear.
Yeah.
And they really explain it to you.
So we've mentioned Zelda a bunch of times, but I have to mention Zelda again because the creator also mentioned that Zelda was a huge influence on the boss design.
Mm-hmm.
I think I didn't read specifically which Zelda, but I'm assuming Ocarina of Time because the bosses in that were so large. And that's what he was kind of referring to.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I thought was interesting also is Ueda mentions that, have you ever played a game by the name of Out of This World or Another World?
Nope.
It was a Genesis / Super Nintendo / PC game, I think, at the time. The first enemy you run into is this big black beast that you have to get around. You can't really, it's a weird game. We should talk about it someday. It's very interesting. It's very cool, design to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And how you interact with things is very different, but the design of the big black beast influenced his designs for the, for Dormant and for some of the Colossuses as well. Mm. Colossi. I keep saying Colossuses, even though they keep saying Colossi everywhere. That game Out of This World also doesn't provide any narrative through speech or text blocks at the time.
Okay.
It provides it all through in-game context, and it's a side-scrolling Genesis / Super Nintendo game.
Hmm.
And it's, again, it's very good at telling its narrative, and that he took a lot of influence from that, just through gameplay telling the story.
Right. Yeah, that sounds interesting.
He also mentioned GTA 3 came out before this,
okay.
And he was a big fan of GTA 3.
Interesting.
So that's why he made this game into an open-world game.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's surprising to me because it seems like from the ground up, like, this concept of, you know, like, only boss battles kind of, for it to work, you kind of need, like, I guess it's hard to say which came first, but, like, the whole style and, like, overarching design of this massive world and, like, you're traveling to different parts of it to find these bosses.
Right.
And then to fight them. Like, it seems natural for it to be an open world.
Yeah, game. But at the time, if you think about it, there weren't a lot of open world games.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Right.
I think he was just, he mentioned in an interview I read that he played all of the GTA games, mm-hmm. and then he played GTA 3 and his mind was blown. Specifically, it was blown.
Me too, man.
Yeah. But specifically, it was blown as a developer by the fact there weren't invisible walls.
Okay.
So he was like, I want to make an open world that's complete, mm-hmm. But not have invisible walls. It's also interesting that this game doesn't have load times.
Right.
Further specific areas.
Well, you're right. I mean, I think the world in this game is particularly amazing because it's very barren. Most of it is pretty barren,
and
boring
We should mention too that there's no other enemies but colossi.
Right.
You don't fight anything.
Yes.
Except for 16 colossi.
And a lot of the times, like, you know, when you're on your way to one, you're just traversing this open field of grass.
Yep.
But the scale of everything and like
how beautiful it looks too.
Yeah.
Even on the PS2 and the old version.
Right. No matter which version, like it just looks so good. And like the scale seems so realistic with like, you know, the size of the cliffs in the distance and like the rocks and like the few rocks that you might encounter.
The big bridge that you can see in the distance and how big the expanse of the desert is and the valley and how you have to go down into the valley.
Right.
Where the river is and how, like, just the sense of scale is really good.
It's so good. And it's funny, as I was playing it, you know, we talk about how it was influenced by Zelda, but I couldn't stop thinking about Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, like, how 100%. Much Breath of the Wild seems like this game.
It took
in the sense of like how open the open world is.
Yeah, I was actually, one of my notes on here is that this game is heavily influenced by Zelda.
Right.
But I think Breath of the Wild takes a lot from this game.
You know, and Breath of the Wild also does like the four guardians or whatever they are. Right. Like, you know, the massive bosses that you have to like,
that are actual beasts.
Right, exactly.
And you have to go inside and there's dungeons. It's funny because it's like, okay, so the director of this game wanted to invert the concept of Zelda.
Right.
Then the Zelda people wanted to take what they did with Zelda and invert it again because mm-hmm. they have make these beasts. So it's like a meta
right.
thing.
Yeah. it's just like, yeah, I didn't beat, you know, I haven't finished Breath of the Wild, but I played a lot of it.
Dude.
Or I played enough of it to have seen how similar it is to this game.
I don't think there's a game that I've put 100 hours into in a very long time. I put 100 hours into Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. I mean, I'll get to it eventually. I've got other stuff to do. But yeah, I just want to say again how awesome the open world in this game is.
For
it being something that should just be boring at this point, it's so fun to travel. And I think a lot of it also has to do with, like, how dynamic the camera is, and like they're always giving you like a great angle, unless you get into a tight spot, like, you know, the game can falter with, you know,
yeah, backing up against stuff,
right,
sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's like an artifact of the era,
right? Exactly. But it's so successful in making the world seem real, and it's like not a video game world, it's like it seems like a real place.
Yeah, it's like a ruin, and it's very, it's just different. Nothing that feels like
it's so good.
Yeah, it's very good. And again, I mentioned scale in the world, and a lot of times in those games back in the day, like GTA 3, mm-hmm. when they put up a building, it didn't seem like it was the scale of what you would have for a building.
Right.
And this is like, it's the scale seems like it matches.
It's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and one of the things too is the horse aggro, who again, Zelda, it feels a lot like Epona, but
the horse is massive. You talk about scale.
Yeah,
the horse is huge.
So the horse was designed deliberately to be not obedient to you.
Feels that way.
So you can. It's designed to make it feel like a horse, and also not every input that you put in, it obeys.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
So I'm glad I'm not. I don't just feel crazy because that horse was a real nuisance.
And they made it better for the PS4 version.
Right, I read that and it blew my mind because I couldn't imagine how bad it could have been
for the PS2 version. Yeah, he wanted to make you feel like you were riding a horse.
Oh my god.
So, and at the same time for me, I thought it was not that bad. I thought it was pretty okay.
It's funny, I got so frustrated by the end that I would just like run
Oh, really?
In certain areas that, like, I knew that they wanted me to use the horse. But it made me feel better when all of a sudden the horse would come a million miles an hour out of nowhere and, like, run right into a wall. And, it couldn't navigate itself through these areas that I was struggling with.
There was one, I think there was, like, a wooded area at some point where you have to run through trees. And I was like, no.
Yeah, no. I just got off the horse and ran on foot.
Yeah, so aggro kind of sucks. But at the same time, you need to use aggro for some of the bosses.
Right.
There's a snake boss, so I think this is the third boss. You have to ride on his back and shoot arrows into the eyes of the Colossus. And
you make him, that's the one where like he has to chase you, right?
Right.
And then you jump onto him, I guess.
Yeah, and once you hit him a couple times in the eyes. there's one where you have to, it's in the desert where you have
the flying boss.
And it dips its wings into the sand. And
after you pop his airbags, right?
Yeah, okay. I'm remembering this more as we talk about it.
That's, I think, my favorite boss of the whole game. That was just, like, unbelievable.
I did not like that
one. Oh, really? No. Just the spectacle of, like, once it was flying around and you're on top of it and, like, it just, it's so cool. I mean,
people say that they hate the actual flying bird boss where you have to jump onto it from the
water. When there's all the water around.
Yeah. I like that one a lot.
I thought that one was pretty cool, too.
It's very cinematic. But yeah, you have
the game. The game is cinematic. Oh yeah, it's like
just super cinematic. So, so you have to jump on these Colossuses, and one of the big gameplay aspects is once you get on the Colossus, you have to navigate towards a special symbol that the sword points out, and then stab the symbol. And navigating to the symbol can be quite difficult a lot of the times.
Yeah, and
you have stamina that guides you, and that's kind of an innovation. I don't think there was stamina in games before
grip stamina.
Right, grip stamina in this case. Stamina.
Yeah, I enjoyed that until I didn't.
Right.
Like, a lot of this game is I love it until it just crossed a threshold, and it's, like, frustrating.
Well, sometimes, right? So sometimes you're like, okay, it's a very specific point where you have to jump on this Colossus. I got that done. And then I got to the point where I'm like on the Colossus and I'm holding him. And okay, I got that. And now I'm working my way over to the thing and I get right towards the thing and I'm about to stab it and he shakes me off. And that process takes 5 minutes and then you have to go back and do it again and you're like, fuck.
Right. So you fall all the way to the ground and then you got to find a way back onto his ankles.
The second to last Colossus where you're in the middle of an arena and there's like a big giant Colossus and you have to climb up the walls and then jump on him.
Yep. That took forever.
That one was so frustrating.
Especially the whole part where, because he slams down and like lifts up the rock that you can then jump up onto. Like it took forever for me to figure that out.
Right. Right. And there's also like, you have to get onto his hand and his thing's in the back and then he opens his hand and you have to get into the hand.
And there's like fire at that point too.
It's really hard. I think it's
a byproduct to like everything about the game is minimalistic, including like its HUD and like it overtly giving you information. And I think the problem is because it's so hands off or like tries not to give you text or button prompts and stuff like that, you get into situations where it's not obvious that you can like make a jump from his hand to the other wrist or whatever like that.
And sometimes you don't know what you're going to grab, what you can grab onto.
Yeah.
Like there's some edges and that's another product of the design. One of the things that the director mentioned is that when a Colossus moves its hand from down to being horizontal, he wanted to make it, this was revolutionary at the time, right? Make a boss where you could grab onto a boss's arm. And then when he went lifted it to be horizontal, you could walk on the arm.
Right. Yeah.
So which was like,
that's still cool.
Yeah. So
like knowing the safe, like when it's safe to let go.
Right. And that's one of the, that's where when these, you're innovating so much as you're running across these limitations of the hardware or design or what you can possibly think about because of how different this game is compared to games at the time.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I can see that. And I still think that it's a marvel in a lot of ways, but
especially for when it was released in 2005, we played God of War,
right?
And this game is like so much better than God of War in like every aspect,
right?
Not just in like gameplay, but in visuals, in like aesthetic and storytelling.
Yep,
it's like all way better.
It's just
So
yeah, it's I loved playing it. Thank you. I mean, did you find, like, I almost didn't even notice that there were, like, collectibles.
I
didn't find any. Yeah. I didn't even bother to look. I felt like I saw these salamanders all over the floor that I kept trying to do stuff with, but apparently they weren't the right
also,
ones.
Also, there's, like, a way you can increase your stamina, and I never found that. Clue. It's, like, fruit or something you can find. Never found it. No. So.
I had noticed, you know, popping through the menus and stuff like that, that it seems like, at least in the remaster, they expect you to, like, do replays of this. Do you know, like, is there any, like...
extra stuff?
Right, is there, like, a new... it didn't seem like there's a new game plus, like...
No.
I guess it's just, like, a high score sort
Yeah, something like that.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I could see myself replaying it one day, but certainly when I was done, I felt done with it.
Right.
Not that I didn't enjoy it, but...
Yeah, this is a game where I might... kind of like Ocarina of Time, I might come back to it in, like, 10 years.
Right.
You know? And every once in a while, just to remember how... like, good it is, because it is a really good game. It's very solid.
Yeah.
For how minimalistic it is, and how... for how minimalistic it is, and how many... like, you have a sword, and you have a bow. You don't get any other, like, secondary weapons.
It's not video gamey.
No.
Which is nice.
Yeah. It's very... again, we mentioned cinematic. Did you know that they had a... there's an Adam Sandler movie?
I found out, like, as I looked at the Wikipedia page for it,
yes.
That there was.
There's this movie called Rain Over Me, where it's about a guy whose family died in 9/11, and the entire plot, I guess, revolves around him beating Shadow of the Colossus.
Right, yeah.
Which is really interesting. And it's
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, doing and I guess it's, like, a good movie. People, like, it's...
yeah, I had never heard of it.
I've heard of the name of Rain Over Me. I've never heard of what the plot is.
Yeah.
So,
it seems like a very appropriate game for...
grieving kind of over plot. 9/11? Yeah, I mean, killing...
Well, and just, like, you know, being, you know, alone, you know, just... trudging through this
right
like experience.
And I guess it's like one of the first instances in cinema where they use a video game not as like a background item, but more of like something that's central to the plot. The plot of the video game is central to the plot of the movie, and the character progressing through the plot, which was interesting.
I'll have to check it out. I had never heard of the movie before playing this game and looking at the wiki.
So just in terms of the Colossi, what was your favorite? Flying one with the bubbles?
The flying one, it was my favorite in the sense that it was the most impressive of a series of impressive bosses.
Right.
Like, you know, the very first one was a little spoiled to me in the sense that, you know, I had seen gameplay of the game before. And so often you're seeing that, like, first Colossus. And it's cool, and it's massive, and, like, all that. But, like, the excitement kind of wore off before I even played it. But I didn't even expect, you know, this, like, to be on a flying creature, like, through the desert. And same goes for the other bird one. And there was also, like, an underwater one, right? At one point, is that the same as the bird one?
Yes.
Right, okay. So, but I don't know. I more have ones that I didn't like. Like, the two smaller... the first smaller Colossus you faced, the one with the torch, didn't like that
at all.
Like, because it strayed from, like, the rules that the game had created.
It's true, yeah.
And, like, for you to have to then pick up an item and deal with it, like, it's just not what the game was.
It fell out of there because you had to pick up that item. And, like, and also you had to cause him to drop that item because he had to hit the thing. And it's like, how do I know, how am I supposed to intuit this?
Exactly.
From playing this game.
So I thought that was dumb, and... it's funny, you encounter a similar boss, like a similar Colossus a couple later.
Yeah.
Where he has to run into the columns.
Yeah, and I don't mind that one.
That was, I think, you know, I don't know how much of that is because we already fought the other one.
Yeah.
But that one wasn't so bad.
Right.
I
like the last Colossus, even though it was a pain in the ass to get to it.
Yeah.
Because it, like, he shoots lightning bolts at you or whatever.
Exactly.
But once you got to him, he was pretty cool. Like, just trying to scale him because he was so big.
True.
Because he was the biggest Colossus of them all.
Yeah, the one before that we had already mentioned
was frustrating as fuck.
Extremely frustrating.
Where you had to hit one spot and then he opens his hand to show another spot and you have to jump across to his hand and you have to like climb up this like 3-story building just to get on him.
Mm-hmm.
So if he shakes you off and stuff, there's one with a sword that comes down and he hits the metal to break his armor.
Right.
And you have to climb up his sword. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
I enjoyed that one.
Yeah. It's funny that, you know, we've talked about how this is a good game and it is a good game, but like at no point was there much difficulty. There was only frustration.
Very true.
And like, obviously, frustration is way worse than difficulty. So,
I never felt like in peril of dying, except for the final boss when he has the instant kill lightning bolt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just and it's a lot of it came down, at least for me, to like both controls and some of the unclear bosses,
right.
Or like, you know, and it was just a clarity thing. It wasn't you have to go to this angle to kind of see the fuzz that you can run up. It's just the game wasn't always perfect in kind of making it intuitive, like you said.
Right. What did you think of the ending?
So I really had no idea what was going on in the story up till that point.
Right.
I
kind of had some sense because, like, I kind of figured out that who was a bad guy. Or that the thing that he was trying to do was to help a bad person in order to save his love, mm-hmm. essentially.
Yeah, so that wasn't obvious to me. I only had, like, the me as a human morality issue of, like, man, it seems like none of these colossi are that evil.
Well, I mean, when you start seeing, like, the black thing staring down at him, and you're like, every time there's a new black person... So every time you beat a colossus, there's a black figure that's added that stands above you.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Really?
In, so, like, the temple?
Yeah, so you get... After you kill a Colossus, you get teleported back to the temple.
Oh, right, yes.
And there's, like, a black shadow that stands over you, and they look very sad and depressing. And every time...
And then they surround you,
Every time a new one gets added, and I was like, oh, so he's definitely...
Yeah, I never made, like... you know, yes, they are, like, these black evil spirit-looking things, but it never connected that... they were evil. I thought it was just these like ghost things.
Right.
It wasn't until the end when like you see the priest or whatever and his posse come across that bridge and then it becomes obvious.
Right.
Also, I can't believe you never get to ride on that bridge.
Yeah.
That's such a tease. I thought I definitely thought the last level I would get to ride across that bridge and like,
it's like this big, expansive bridge that goes...
And it looks so cool.
It does look super cool.
And you never get to ride on it.
I remember I took a lot of pictures on PS4 because I played this on PS4. I went back to play it on PS2 to like a couple of the Colossuses, but played on PS4 and I was taking screenshots of like, because it was so beautiful. It's
beautiful.
Yeah.
It's art. It's like visual art.
Right.
Constantly.
Right. But yeah, so the ending, you're uniting the... So the whole idea is that this Dorman character is an evil spirit who was split up by priests into 16 colossi, and he's tricking you into killing the colossi to unite his spirit back together so that he can become whole again. And in return, he's going to revive Mono, your girlfriend. And the priests get wind of this and come towards you right at the very end as you unleash the 16th colossi. And then you can actually become Dorman, the evil spirit.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And I was like, did I fuck up? I died.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you, I read like the biblical reference.
No, I didn't get
that. Like Dorman backwards is Nimrod.
And what's Nimrod?
He was like a biblical king that like, he got cut up into a bunch of pieces and they like split his body.
Oh.
Across the world.
Did not know that.
Yeah, so that's...
They used to do that a lot back in the day, splitting up people. Like
just in case.
Napoleon Bonaparte, they like sent to like different countries that he fucked with.
Yeah.
So.
You don't want him to put himself back together and come back to life.
No, it was more like, I think like, he's dead, just to let you know.
Proof?
Yeah, because they didn't have pictures or
anything. I like my explanation more.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Dracula and Castlevania 2. He was. You had to find his rib and his heart and all that.
True.
But yes. Anyways, I didn't realize Nimrod was a thing. There's a part of the ending where you have to hold on, and you can keep gripping
because you're getting when it sucks sucked you in. Into the portal. Or
yeah, because the priests create the portal.
Yep.
Did you waste a lot of time not letting yourself be sucked in? Because you can.
Yeah.
You can spend a lot of time not. Yeah. I was like, no.
It did dawn on me that like, it's a losing fight.
Right.
Yeah. But
and then the ending is so this priest go away and the princess does wake up. She's renewed. She's alive again, and she finds a baby inside the fountain. And I was like, waiting for it to say a Hideo Kojima production,
yeah,
on the screen.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he also sprouts horns, which I guess is a reference to Aiko.
Yeah,
at the very end, because and the fan speculation is that this is a prequel to Aiko.
Okay, so
because Aiko has horns.
Yeah, I did pick up on the horns thing, even having not played Aiko, but I don't know if I didn't pick up on that it could have been a prequel. Like, I don't know the story of
Aiko. So I have not played Aiko, but what I read is that in Aiko, the main character are part of a species or group, racial group, where they have horns and they're viewed as evil.
And
supposedly they're supposed to be an offspring of Mono and its baby.
Huh.
Because they create a new race from the Forbidden Land.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
yeah and I guess eventually I should play Aiko.
I guess The Last Guardian is also in the same universe as well.
Oh, neat.
So they're all supposed to be vaguely together.
Yeah, it took me, 14 years to play Shadows of the Colossus.
Yeah, so maybe I'll
eventually play those other games.
But yeah, game was really good. Really enjoyed this game.
It is good. I was a little, like, cautious, I guess is the word, initially. You know, I wasn't sure if it was living up to the hype.
Right, same.
And I don't think any individual moment really does it. It's just, you know, as a whole cohesive piece of work, it's just
right.
A great game.
Yes. So, we get to our endless list of games. It goes from number 1 through number 34. We have a lot of things to discuss here. I'll mention again, this is our second PS2 game, original PS2 game that we're adding to this list. Previously we had a God of War, our second 2005 release, which was also God of War, our second Sony Computer Entertainment game, which is also God of War, and our fifth game from the 2000s that we've added to this list. This game, so just a few things that we should mention here. This game is known as one of the best PS2 games. I don't know if it's the best PS2 game, but it's known as one of the best PS2 games.
Fair.
One of the biggest pieces of its legacy, as we mentioned, is its boss design, but also how it structures its story. I think this was
It's minimalism, too.
Yeah.
The fact that it's just bosses is kind of a big deal.
I would say that... what's the game I'm thinking of? I would say this is one of the first games that people would point to and say, hey, video games are art.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right. It's the one that I always picked, even before playing it, like I knew that was kind of the argument.
Right.
This was the example of like an artistic game.
And you can look at a lot of games and see that it draws its lineage from this game.
Mm-hmm.
And even this game came out 14 years ago. There's like a lot of games. One of the big ones that sticks out that will end up probably higher on our list is Journey. And I'm like, does that game exist without Shadow of the Colossus?
It's true.
So, I mean, this game was very influential. I'd even say like a game like Uncharted. And the way that the character moves in Uncharted, Nathan Drake moves, is very akin to Shadow of the Colossus.
Right. At least the attempt at the fluidity.
Yeah.
Human-like motions. Movements.
Yeah. Yeah. How the character moves and how it scales things.
Right.
Walls and stuff.
Unlike God of War, where Kratos is like leaping.
Right.
Know, like 20 like superhuman. Yeah. Exactly.
One of the interesting things that I'll say about this game is the other game that I think is one of the best PS2 games that's in my mind is like one of the best PS2 games is Metal Gear Solid 2.
Right, yeah.
Sons of Liberty. Think about that game's plot versus this game's plot and how they are like the two extreme differences.
Yeah, but they can both be considered the best PlayStation. Yeah.
Right. So like... Metal Gear Solid 2 has one of the most convoluted storylines.
Yeah.
Any Metal Gear Solid game has a convoluted storyline, but Metal Gear Solid 2 in particular,
right.
Extremely convoluted. And this game is also is like so minimal on the story.
Yeah. It almost couldn't get more basic, at least right. for the majority of the time you're playing it until right. the end.
And they're both great games.
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny. But yeah, and we also mentioned too that, you know, this game draws a lot from Legend of Zelda, but also I think Breath of the Wild obviously draws a lot from this game.
Yeah, I think it's, you can't argue that Breath of the Wild wasn't influenced by like the world design of Shadows of the Colossus.
If you even look at the design of the Colossus,
yeah,
the just the aesthetic of Colossus looks a lot like the Guardians,
right.
and also like the squid things that shot the lasers mm-hmm. in Breath of the Wild.
Yep,
and they made
except they're just more colorful in
right,
Zelda.
Right, they made a big deal out of in Breath of the Wild saying, "Well, we drew on the Jomon period of Japan, which was this period from 14,000 BC to 300 BC, which is when Japanese design was like this." Hmm. And I just look at it, I'm like, "This."
Are you sure it's not from 2005?
Yeah, this looks a lot like Shadow of the Colossus.
Well,
yeah. So that's funny. I will say that this game does it holds up really well for being 14 years old. However, the PS2 game is a little bit different. The controls are different. Jump on that game is on triangle.
I didn't know that, but I moved it to triangle.
Okay.
Because they separate jump and making the horse aggro move forward.
Aggro!
And I kept hitting X.
Okay.
So I was like, I just need X to be the horse move button.
Wow.
So I just did switch it to, but I was on like still on the modern version, so I don't know what else, right. what other differences there were.
Right. The PS2 version, they changed a lot of like the visuals. It's like they made it clearer and they changed right. kind of like the artisticness of it.
Yeah, but even the PS2 version still looks really good.
Great.
And
it looks
like
great.
It's kind of like Ocarina of Time, where it's like the design of it is so good that even though the fidelity isn't great, like it still is a, you know, great looking right. piece of art.
Yep. So we're here. Where does this go on our list?
So
we could start somewhere and move up.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I absolutely think this is a better game than Star Fox 64.
I agree. So Star Fox 64 is number 8 on our list. It's yes. above Tecmo Super Bowl and Star Wars TIE Fighter. So yeah, I would agree. We've said in previous episodes a couple times that Star Fox 64 is great.
Great game.
But I agree. I think this is, I think it's significantly better.
Absolutely. I would say I personally think it's a better game than Mega Man 2. I could see people making arguments that Mega Man 2 is a better game. But I just think that combining the story, the aesthetic, the gameplay of Shadow of the Colossus together, and given how much it's influenced, I think it's a better game. It's on our list.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think these games are like the exact opposite kind of games, whereas like Mega Man 2 is like an extremely tight platformer. You're taking down, this is obvious, but like you're taking down all these enemies, like, and then you compare it to this where it's like very imprecise movements and extremely minimalistic and like, you know, oftentimes not any music at all. Like right. it's just such a different.
And I would say extreme. Too, I said that the game was better. And I don't actually know if it's better. What I would say is that on this list, I think it goes higher than Mega Man 2.
I agree.
And that's because of all the reasons enumerated, because it's the whole vision of the game combined, and then also how much of an influence it's had, I think is why it would go higher than Mega Man 2.
Yeah, I think so. I don't have any argument to disagree.
I also think it goes higher than Metroid, because Metroid gets by on its legacy. And I think this game has a legacy, and it also has a better overall story, framework, everything.
Right. I think this is a bit of a bias against how old Metroid is, but like Metroid to me is just, it does what it does right, but it doesn't do enough to convince me that it should be higher on this list than Shadows of the Colossus.
Right. Where I think there's a more difficult question for me is Resident Evil.
Yeah, that's where I kind of stop, because again, they're significantly different kinds of games, but Resident Evil has a in my opinion, it's got such a, I mean, there's so many, like, I don't even know if there's a lot of systems, but there are systems in play that make Resident Evil what it is.
Tell me more about these systems.
Well, I mean, you know, like the, I think the cross play between, you know, inventory management, your ammunition management, you know, traversing through a significantly smaller area than Shadows of the Colossus. You're doing a lot of backtracking. There's puzzle solving.
Aesthetics.
That's like, good. To me, you know, I think I probably overrate Resident Evil, but to me, Resident Evil is more, it's more impactful to me. It's, I'd rather play it. I think it's a more fun game. I think it spawned a greater legacy.
Maybe.
Well, I could see. So what's your, you give me your opinion versus Resident Evil, I guess.
I mean, you're kind of swaying me, yeah. But at the same time, I look at this game and I see Resident Evil and I think it's a good game. And I think it eventually spawned a game that will be one of the top games of all time in Resident Evil 4. I think Resident Evil 4 will be higher than Resident Evil.
Okay.
So I think that that game was like a first attempt at a horror game, and made something very, very, well, not a first attempt. There were games prior to that, but it was made the survival horror genre.
Right.
What it is.
It's funny. It's like very much not, I mean, you know, video games are, I guess, you know, in general, but it's not like an artsy game. Like, it's very unartsy.
No.
Resident Evil.
Right. It's a horror is not typically, like, art, right?
Yeah. You know,
it's become more so with movies that have released, like, what's the Us, for example, the latest one?
Yeah.
Hereditary and those ilk, Babadook.
And it's not a criticism against Resident Evil. It's just pointing out, like, how gamey it is.
Right. You know,
compared to this.
Yep.
Shadows of the Colossus. For me, I put Shadows of the Colossus probably here, but I could be convinced that it's better than Resident Evil.
I mean, it's tough. The one thing I see is that, like, of the games on our list, I don't see a game that has a more complete vision of what it's trying to do and what it is. Besides, like, Super Mario 64. Yeah.
I mean, even Golden. Like, I don't like GoldenEye, I think, as much as everyone, but I think that is a pretty complete picture. You know, it nails the James Bond. I mean, it was tied into a movie, but, like, it so successfully makes you feel like James Bond, like, in, you know, for the time,
right.
Like, the console shooting, like, it was revolutionary, like, the multiplayer.
I just feel like in that game, the story is such an afterthought.
I think, like, that's a result of it being a movie.
Right, right. And also the music is not, you know, and the aesthetic is not super.
Yeah.
So it's the Shadow of the Colossus is a complete package. You've got the art, the gameplay, you've got the aesthetic, you've got the story, you've got the sound, you've got everything put together to make an open world for the time period was, like, crazy. And it's difficult for me to argue. I want it to be higher than Resident Evil, but it's difficult for me to argue against where it is.
I just think, like, you know, this isn't the only reason to keep it. So the top five are Super Mario 64, Legend of Zelda,
GoldenEye,
Final Fantasy IV, Resident Evil, and then that's where we're at for this. None of those games above, I have my own issues with Legend of Zelda, but I think its influence can overpower those issues I have. But none of those top five games made me anywhere near as frustrated as I've been at times with Shadow of the Colossus.
Understood. Yes. 100%. I agree with you.
And, you know, if I'm watching someone else that's good at Shadows of the Colossus play Shadows of the Colossus and doesn't run into these issues and I don't have to experience that frustration.
Yes. You've sold me.
Then it's great. It's perfect.
I just keep remembering the second to last Colossus where I was like, my God, I have to do this again.
Right. Yeah, and the fact that it was such a good game kept me motivated to keep playing it. But otherwise, I was ready to just, like,
I agree with
you. Put the controller down and stop playing at times.
You've sold me. We'll add this game at number 6 on our list. Because, like, I just keep thinking about, and also the Last Colossus of being like, I swear to God, I have to, like, get frame perfect behind this fucking wall in order not to get zapped by lightning here.
Exactly.
Ugh. That was tough. But, yeah. Really good game.
It's great. It was a great game. I suggest
everybody go out and play that game.
Definitely.
So. Cool. So we have our new number 6 game, Shadow of the Colossus.
Sounds good to me.
Our 35th game added to the list. Cool. We'll be back at some point with another episode. But thank you, Matt. I hope you're satisfied with this placement.
I'm very satisfied. I'm very happy I played this game.
I'm also happy that I played this game.
I may sound down on it at times, but I think it's, you know, it's a great piece of work.
It's a very solid game. And it's, again, like... There's arguments that video games are art, and people will be like, oh, video games aren't art. Like, this game had a very clear idea of what the director wanted to do.
It was a vision.
And he made it, right? And this is probably, I have not played Ico, and I have not heard Last Guardian, but I've heard that this is the best one out of those three. So we've now played it. Congratulations to us. We've completed an experience.
For real gamers
a now. A game. But thanks, Matt. We'll be back. Just want to thank Dos Chikini Jr. for our music. You can follow us on at It's So Bad Pod on Twitter, itssobadpod@gmail.com, if you want to email us any of your questions or comments. As well, we'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks so much.